Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I got a good word for you. I'm starting a series today called First Love. But I started building the series, and this other thing like started, and it just has transformed my life. So I'm going to preach it today, okay? And what this is the intro of the series. And I proved at 9:30 that I could preach it in one service. We're going to dive deep into the word. How many guys want to dive deep today, okay? That, man, I could dive deep today. How many guys want your life, impact of life change today? Anybody in here? Because see, let me just tell you, the reason so many people don't have hope is because they don't realize the carrier or the container or the vessel of hope. See, the reason people don't have hope is because we're the hope. You are the hope. See, we're looking at it, we're thinking the hope is, man, something that's gonna fill a need or something that's gonna take care of an issue. But I truly have to just understand in my life, I'm the hope. The active, engaged local church is the hope of the world. So that means you're it. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Luke 5. How many guys brought your Bibles? All right, turn to Luke 5. Tell me when you get there. Luke 5. So it was as the multitude pressed about him, pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, the same thing that we're here today for. You came here for the word of God. Okay, that's it. So here they were. They came for the word. This is going to be an amazing word for you. Okay, I'm just telling you, I'm just jacked. I'm amped about this, all right? To hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats. I even practiced that last night and today. Dadgummit. And two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Man, he got in a relaxed position and just started speaking from the boat to the multitude. He wasn't yelling and screaming. Sparks weren't flying from his fingertips. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." That may be where your life is today. I mean, let's just be honest. With as many people as are here in Sepulpa, Skytook, and Tulsa watching on the internet, your life may be in a place that just recently you've caught nothing, okay? And here God is coming into your life, okay, in the form of his word, and says, go out and launch out into the deep. Now, this is going to be difficult. The most difficult place to fish, the most time-consuming, the most energy required, okay? And he said, "Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." See, Jesus hadn't done anything in Simon's life yet. And here Simon complied, and you'll think, why? He complied because of all the people that were there. This guy evidently has some influence because of the crowd of people, all right? Now listen, he said, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so they began to sink as well. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." The production, listen, the number of people, the influence that Jesus had caused Simon Peter to pay attention to him. But the production of what Jesus said, the aftermath, the result, the harvest overwhelmed Peter, where he came and he said, "Look, I'm not worthy." All right? "For he and all who were with him were astonished." I've underlined that word astonished in my Bible. They were astonished when they saw this, how great the catch was. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, okay, listen, this is huge. From now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to fish for men. You're going to be a fisher of men. All four of the Gospels have recorded this story. One of them called it and said, look, you become a fisher of men. They were astonished. So when they had brought their boats to the land, now this is huge. Underline this or highlight it right in your notes, because there's going to be another situation that's come up that you're going to reflect upon this. But they forsook all and followed Jesus. They forsook all and they followed him. See, because this is how it works. I remember in June of 1979, in April of 1979, Jesus made himself real to me. In June of 1979, I gave my life to Jesus. So let me tell you what I did. I forsook all. And I'll tell you what, between April and June, what I dealt with drugs and liquor and all kinds of worldly living, what I dealt with was everything I was about to lose in my life because Jesus made himself real to me. All my friends, all my acquaintances, all my habits, all my vices, man, everything, good and bad, everything. And I'm telling you, God's no respecter of persons, God's no respecter of us. And you might say, well, man, I did this. All I could give to the legacy was 10 bucks. God's no respecter of persons. If you gave 10 or 10,000, it doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. You're just a part of it. See, the only thing that, the only part of this that I believe is troubling is people that don't even participate at all in this Christian walk, this life that we have. Man, I'm not the soul winner you are. It doesn't matter. You got to be the soul winner you are. See, that's what you have to be who you are. You may not bring hope like somebody else, but let me tell you, you got to still bring hope. See, the hope's in us. And if the body of Christ is schizophrenic, where some people are bringing hope and other people aren't, that's confusing to the world. The world has a hard time buying in. See, what God's looking for is what the world needs, and that's us being in one accord. That's one laugh, we all laugh. Man, one sing, we all sing. One cry, we all cry. See, one fight, we all fight. How many of you guys are in a fight in your life? Let me see your hands. Wave to me if you're in a fight right now in your life. Hey, let me tell you something. You come to the right dadgum place. This is a room full of fighters in this place. See, that's what we've got to understand. See, so let's go to Matthew now, chapter 26. This is Jesus. This is 3 years after Peter said, hey, I'm all in. I'm going to forsake all and I'm going to follow you, just like most of us have done in our lives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, this is 3 years later, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Bump back up to verse 31, where he said, all of you will be made to stumble. All of you will be, see, there's some of you guys that are guests in the room and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to church. Man, I've screwed up in my life. I've messed up my life. I don't, and they're just going to do, church is full of hypocrites. How many of you guys have ever heard that? Okay, get over yourself, all right? A, and there's really no B after that, okay? So the church is full of hypocrites. All they're going to do is judge me. All they're going to do is be critical of me. And I'll tell you, but what we have to understand is we've all stumbled. I'm standing in front of you, and I've got this mic hooked to me, and people are paying attention, and I've got leadership equity, yet I've stumbled. How does that work? This is God's plan. God uses fallible people. God uses scripts. God uses felons. God uses people. God uses people that have gotten the most gosh darn awful tattoo known to mankind. God still uses them. See, understand that. See, we've got to be the people. See, the local church, the active local church is the hope of the world. That's us. We bring the hope. We are hope-filled. So here's Jesus. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. 17 times in the Gospels, Jesus said that he'd die and come back to life. 17 times. This is one of them. Yet, you know what? When Jesus died on that cross, they all went and hid. They locked their doors. What the heck do we do now? Verse 33, Peter answered and said to him, even if all have been made to stumble because of you. Now listen, this is a guy that forsook all and followed Jesus. Even if all are made to stumble, I will never stumble. I'm not going to stumble. I will die with you. I'm never going to stumble. That's what he said. And then Jesus answered in the next verse, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows," everybody say the rooster, before the rooster crows. Okay, everybody here, turn into a rooster, okay? On the count of three, I know you can do it. I'm going to do it, and I can do it really good. I'm much better than you guys, okay, at it. Okay, I'm from Warrington, okay? Do the math, okay? So on the count of three, we're all going to crow like a rooster. One, two, three. See, I was much better than you guys. All right, you guys can work on it. I learned how to say that lake, and I practiced my crowing, okay? So I was ready for it, okay? You guys maybe weren't. But he said, before the rooster... before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. He's thinking that's ludicrous. He laughed like you guys are laughing right now. He said, Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I'll not deny you. And then so said all the disciples. Now we go to verse 69. Bump up a little bit to the right. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. A servant girl. You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl, a little girl, saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied him with an oath. Man, a perjurous kind of denial. He denied him with an oath. And he said, I don't even know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, and he said, I don't know that gosh darn man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Here's how the regression of this pattern of our lives goes. It starts with, Jesus, I'm giving you it all. I commit to follow you. That's it. Come hell or high water, I'm following you, Jesus. I will never stumble. I will never turn my back. I commit to follow you. And it goes to, oh, I'll never do that. Doesn't stop there. Because where it ends up landing is, I'll never do it again. See, this is what we have to understand. What Jesus said is, look, you're going to follow me, and all of you are going to stumble. And I'll tell you why. This path we're going on has hurdles in it. This route that we're going to take as followers of Jesus has pitfalls, has tribulation, has temptations. But then we go to verse 57 of Matthew 26. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58, but Peter followed him at a distance. Man, here's what happened. He went from saying, look, I'm gonna forsake all and follow you, to now he's following him at a distance. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. The big question, I think, for all of us is, what do we do when, and it isn't if we're going to, it's what do we do when we follow Jesus from a distance? What do we do when we're saying, yeah, I was committed for a season? Or like if I came in and if I were to ask Sandy to marry me, I said, Sandy, will you marry me? She said, yes, I will. I said, okay, I'm committed to you for as long as the Lord wills. I'm committed to you until God tells me something different. Man, let me just tell you something. She would not be sitting on this front row today. That's a different kind of covenant than what marriage truly is. And see, the covenant we've made with Jesus now, we said, look, I stood at an altar and I repeated a prayer that said, God, I give you my life. That's lock, stock, and barrel. That means everything. That means all of it. That means when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. That's why the word says, man, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach it whether you feel like it or not. See, the bottom line with this is we can't let the situations and circumstances of our life dictate how we're following Jesus. Are you with me on that? See, that's who we have to be. Do you follow Jesus from a distance? It's a real simple question. In John 21:3, Simon Peter said to them, after this whole thing happened, after he denied him three times, man, after Jesus rose from the dead, you know what Peter said? Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said, I'm going to go do what I've done, and I'm going to go be who I used to be. And they said to him, we're going with you too. Remember when Jesus said, when Jesus said that all of you are going to stumble, and Peter said, I'm never going to stumble. The rest of them said, yeah, we're not ever going to stumble either. See, they all followed Peter. Somehow, he had some leadership in this whole group. And even after following from a distance, what this became is, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going too. And they went out immediately, got in the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. You feel the setup happening here? Man, here they were. They were cleaning their nets when Jesus introduced himself to them. They'd caught nothing. Jesus said, hey, man, let me use your boat. He uses the boat. And he says, hey, why don't you cast out in the deep? They said, well, we fished all night and caught nothing. Here they were in another situation, and they'd caught nothing. And now they're in that place of nothing. Have you ever been in that place of nothing? That's where Jesus shows up. Do you notice here? There's a pattern here. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. When you've caught nothing in your life, Jesus shows up. And they'd caught nothing. And when you get to that place where I've failed and I'm going to go back to who I used to be. Verse 4, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. The title of this message today in my series of First Love is Deja Vu. I've seen this before. I've been here before. I think I'm getting set up for the same miracle again. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. Jesus always, in our nothing, gives us a chance to recommit, a chance to re-up. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of the fish. You know, you think about the commitment to the tithe. You give your life to Jesus. You say, man, I'm going to take the next step and be a part of the church. And now they're talking about this tithe, the first 10%. I don't think we can afford to live that way. I don't think we can afford to give that way. But, but it is the first 10%. And then God said, prove me now in this, that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you're not capable of receiving, that it's too great. It's going to spill out all around you. No longer are you going to have to decide whether your cup is half full or half empty. Now your cup is going to run over. See, that's what happens when we get that place of nothing and Jesus shows up in our life. I think that's a strong point. I'm just telling you from where I am. Then we go to verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment, for he'd removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid upon it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of the large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then he goes to he goes on, and you guys know the story that he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. A second time he said, do you love me? He said, tend to my lambs. A third time, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Three times Peter denied him in the marketplace. Three times Jesus asked him, do you love me? Countered every denial with just a simple question, do you love me? You might be here today and you might have stumbled. You might be here today and you've denied Jesus. And I'll tell you, the only question Jesus has for you is, do you love me? And you might say, man, I've denied him 100 times. Get prepared to answer the question, do you love me 100 times? I'm just telling you, you haven't gone too far. You haven't strayed too far. You haven't stumbled too deep. I'm telling you right now, there is power in this word right here. When you find a pattern in God's word, you know the pattern, he sent his word and healed us and delivered us of our destructions. You know, I was reading Psalm 91 this morning and I was praying it for friends I have in ministry in churches all over the country. And I was inserting their name where it was appropriate in that psalm. And you know, that psalm starts out with, man, he who dwells or abides in the secret place. So I'd pray and I'd say, God, I thank you that Jeff Perry abides and dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. You know what that secret place actually is? It's a covered place. It's a place that you're covered. It's like, oh, I'm in debt. Oh, it's covered. Man, I've got a symptom. Oh, it's covered. Man, my marriage is a wreck. Oh, it's covered. Man, where am I going to find my husband? Oh, it's covered. I'm just telling you, he who abides in that secret place that covered shall abide, is going to live now in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, that's how big, that's how the presence of God is. It's in our lives. The resurrection made the difference. Think about Peter, the resurrected Peter. Jesus said, look, join me in my death and join me in my burial, join me in my resurrection. The resurrected Peter was different than the first Peter. The first Simon Peter was one that could deny Jesus 3 times. The second Simon Peter, the resurrected Peter, remember the day of Pentecost where Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit with 119 other people in there, and he went over to the window, and after the sonic boom hit that place, and he, you know what he said? Man, at the gate, beautiful, he said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. At the window of the upper room, he went and said, this Jesus whom you crucified, man, he's alive today, and you saw him on this earth, and you're not going to see him anymore, because now you got to deal with me, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me now. And 3,000 men got saved, and the church was born. Man, you think about the time where Peter went to the house and it was packed with sick people, and they brought so many sick people and so many paralyzed people, they couldn't get them in that house, so they laid them along the sidewalk of the house. Man, he all kinds of healing inside the house, and Peter's walking out from the house, and the people where his shadow were going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The people who that shadow hit them, they were raised from being paralytic. They were healed from their disease. All of those things were incurable at that time. They didn't have aspirin back then. See, you have to understand, we begin to rely on medication. We begin to rely on science when the only fail-safe thing on this planet is the pattern of God that's in our lives. You might be here today, and during the music, that rooster was crowing. You might be here today, and during this message, that rooster's crowing. Man, the background of our life, we could still hear that rooster crowing. All that is a signal for you. That's all that rooster is. That rooster's not pointing a finger saying, you've denied Jesus 3 times. That rooster's crowing, reminding you of the faithfulness of God. Reminding you that no matter how many times you've stumbled, no matter how many times you've denied Jesus, he's going to show up when the production of your life has become nothing. All you need in your life, I'll just tell you, all you need from God today is a chance to recommit. A chance to commit your life to God or recommit your life to God. That's all you need. That's all you need. Let me tell you, I had fun with Carlos at the beginning of the service. Let me tell you how incredible a marriage that Sarah and Carlos are going to have. You know why? Not because Carlos is perfect. Not because Carlos is such an incredible guy. Not because Carlos has read all the husband marriage books that have been written. I'll tell you why. Because Carlos has stumbled and got back up. Carlos has stumbled and been restored with Jesus. Man, we've all stumbled. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But you know what? The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. That gift that's on the inside of you is irrevocable. You hadn't screwed it up. The purpose in your life is irrevocable. And I'll just tell you this. Hope starts with you. See, I think that's why things aren't, from our viewpoint, things in our life aren't working out. Because we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. See, there needs to be a paradigm shift in your perspective. You need to go from being, man, I need hope in my life, to I am the hope. The greater one lives on the inside of me. You know, the resurrected Peter produced so much ministry that the whole known world was evangelized just in a matter of months because of Peter's leadership. So much so, the Catholic Church calls him the first pope. They didn't pick John. They didn't pick James. They didn't pick the sons of Zebedee. They didn't pick Thomas. Thomas evangelized most of India in his lifetime. They picked Peter. Peter needed restoration. Do you know why Bill Shear can stand in the office of senior pastor at Guts Church? Because God's restored me. It isn't because I hadn't messed up, I hadn't screwed up. No, God's restored my life. God's restored everything about my life. Why? Because there's a perspective of hope. I bring the hope. I become part of the hope of the world. Man, that's our mission. That's what's in you. Man, a writer of one of the books in the Bible said, it's a mystery. Christ in you. Listen, the hope of glory. It's a holy time. People right now, all around all of our campuses, all of our churches, people watching on the internet, hope's being restored in your life. Commitment's being restored in your life. Remember, I'm following you, Jesus. Through thick or thin, I'm with you. To, oh my gosh, look what they did. I'll never do that. To, God, help me that I never do it again. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. All disciples stumble. What sets us apart is we get back up.